Your beliefs as a placebo effect itself is demotivating one to have that change in belief. So first of all, just remember that there is a scientific truth and a scientific mind which is very inquiry based, but there's also faith based mind.
You are tuned into episode 5 of Mind the Gap, a podcast where we bridge diverse perspectives one conversation at a time. Welcome to Mind the Gap, a podcast where every fortnight we explore the topics of self-leadership and neuroscience in service of holistic well-being. I'm Harmeet Anand, with extensive experience coaching leaders across global organizations. I use the ontological approach, somatic principles, and mindfulness practices to support the leaders and teams I coach.
And I'm Sana Anand, with a background in heart science and a budding neuroscientist. We'd like to preface that we are not experts in these realms,
and we invite you to join us in our podcast, where we document our conversations, offering distinct generational and professional points of view. Stay tuned.
So here we are at the end of our season with our last episode. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm just remembering how you excitedly told me that the last episode should be around beliefs and well-being. I wonder what was behind that aha moment.
I just, through my reading, and also I realized that my character has been shaped by a lot of the beliefs that I've held and then proceeded to deconstruct. Like, I had a long-standing belief that I was bad at sports, and that's what ended up stopping me from working out for a long time. And then I also believed that I'd fall off really easily from my good habits because I was prone to forming these bad maladaptive habits, and that forced me to being uptight. And then it got me to asking, where do these beliefs come from? Are they biologically rooted, and how can we change them? And that's what wanted me to have this discussion with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, having this discussion around beliefs and health is something that we never did while growing up. I mean, I think I was a fairly healthy kid growing in a fairly healthy family. I think there is a particular breakdown that one has to experience, or some sort of a hardship where we start thinking of what our beliefs are with respect to that health breakdown that we've had.
Yeah, those obstacles force you to stop seeing your character or behavior as an inherent truth, but rather an imposed belief truth. An external shove from either a change in environment or company can make us realize that maybe the beliefs that we're holding are not really truly our own. We're a product of the conversations that, or the dialogue that we hold with our environment, or rather, there is sometimes a gap in communication with our environment. If I think about a gap in communication with the environment, I mean, when we're honest with ourselves, we need to communicate that with others so that we can be honest with them too, and then they can update the beliefs that they have of you, rather than you not communicating how you're actually feeling, or even putting words to how you're actually feeling, then people start to fill in those gaps with the beliefs they have of you.
I'm hearing that what you're talking about is like someone else's beliefs being projected on
exactly
you, and you assuming that they need to be your belief. And in language, it's like, I should be doing this, I have to do this, I need to do this.
I want to do this is the actual belief.
The I want to do this is actually where we need to be focusing on. And I think what we've spoken about is the silos in which we tend to operate without having a conversation with other people. And it's only through conversations, like where we are either expressing ourselves or feeling as if we are being heard, that we can either make other people change their beliefs about us, or we can make our beliefs be known and dig our heels into it.
Exactly. And then you move from assumptions to more fact-based or value-based beliefs once you've had these discussions.
What do you mean by value-based beliefs?
I mean, you can actually place a weight at the other end of the scale and verbalize how deeply you value something.
So we've spoken a lot about conversations and how they can lead to relationship well-being. Let's talk about beliefs per se, which get instated in us through our inner dialogue with ourselves.
Yeah, that inner dialogue really helps in shifting our beliefs of both positive and negative health, you know, sometimes.
Absolutely. And especially when we are faced with a negative medical assessment regarding
that.
Our health.
I know you and I have definitely experienced a fair share of, and I'm sure a lot of others do as well. Have you ever found that the unpersonalized nature of medical feedback that you received didn't actually account for a root belief that you held?
This is reminding me of something that we were discussing the other day, which is the placebo effect.
But how do you end up giving yourself a mental placebo when you know that it is a placebo?
I think the first thing to really think of is that placebo itself in language is a very logical and a very science-based word. So to think of your beliefs as a placebo effect itself is demotivating one to have that change in belief. So first of all, let's remember that there is a scientific truth and a scientific mind, which is very inquiry-based, but there's also a faith-based mind. And sometimes that is more powerful. You know, the faith-based mind creates the impossible possible.
Yeah.
And now that I think about it, beliefs come from the word religion and faith, right? It kind of, those are the things that were ingrained.
Associated to belief.
Yeah, in our psyches from a very young life.
Similar to the placebo effect, I'm also thinking about another study that was done where people were told they were given holy water, but it was just average tap water from a religious site. They did experience more pleasant and calm state and actually had reduced connectivity in their executive control network. So that just meant that they were more in touch with their emotional network. So their emotional salience areas were more active because they were being less down-regulated by the cognitive control. And this is probably not just contingent on religion and maybe just some aspect of spirituality and inert faith that could lead to the same sense of self-belief and self-determinism.
So far, we've spoken about how we can feel better about our beliefs or update our beliefs through conversations. And also now we've touched upon how we can change our own emotional states.
Yeah.
And that can change our beliefs also.
Yeah.
Like from disbelief, distrust, not having faith, to actually having self-belief, resilience and confidence. These are really powerful emotional states, aren't they?
Yeah.
And once they come into play, there's something biologically, internally that is also happening, which creates a completely new outcome for us. And that kind of also, because of the new outcome, it validates a new belief in ourselves.
I've been talking and I've been asking that question about whether we can have a mental placebo knowing it's a placebo, but it has still been found that even when people know that they're taking a placebo, it's that simple ritual act of taking a pill, of knowing that healing is healing. And that just sort of leads to a similar sort of effect.
Wow, interesting. Kind of ties into what we spoke about in intentions. If you do a ritual with a positive intention, it is likely to generate positive outcomes. And if you're doing it with negative intentions, you're feeling irritated with it, it will not generate positive.
I think it's exactly what you used to tell me about yoga, that whenever I do it grudgingly or very, very, I would not say anything good about it, then you would tell me that to not do it because I'd probably be causing myself more harm than good.
You know, sometimes what you want to believe in and what you actually believe in are contradictory with each other. Mm-hmm. And that conflict first needs to be resolved because conflict itself can create
stress
which can lead to bad health outcomes.
You know, that cognitive dissonance between competing beliefs that we hold, or maybe one is true and one is not, that competition is still very harmful to the body. I was just reading up Mate's work on When the Body Says No. In it, he talked about a study where cancer patients had feigned their positivity and tried to showcase very stoic strength when they were given their diagnosis. They ended up having worse outcomes, actually, than those that had addressed their sort of negative or more scary beliefs with the people that they love and their doctors as well.
Wow. So did they really go through it through their resolve or willpower?
I don't think that force is the way to go, but acceptance is probably the right path because, again, as I was saying, honesty about your beliefs is where you'll actually be able to find out where your true beliefs are. And then that allows other people to be honest as well. So maybe the people that you love were also holding these true scary beliefs but didn't want to say it because they were trying to keep your mood up.
So it seems like those, again, conversations that these people had around their very scary emotions and their beliefs helped them change.
Outcomes. We've been talking about all of this at a very environmental systems community sort of level, but I'm just wondering, environment also plays a role in what surrounds our cells, and that can have an effect on our genes. How do those beliefs shape the environment around ourselves?
I feel the beliefs that are shaping our thinking are actually generating some sort of neurotransmitters or hormones in our body. That is the physical environment that the cells are in, and therefore the expression of certain genes happens.
Changes, yeah. It's the crux of epigenetics now, actually, where molecular structures around our cells can actually affect and change our genes, where the environment that our cells are in can actually help determine and whether we or not we are expressing adaptable traits that we hold, and that can lead us to thrive. So clearly, our beliefs can affect our actions and our emotional states, which in turn affects our health, and then in turn affects our composition of all of our cells. And as you were saying, maybe we have like some maladaptive neurotransmitters that are being secreted, and that increases stress and increases the autoimmune response, and that's maladaptive.
Yeah. Also, I think, you know, the perceptions we have sensorially, like literally what are we feeling inside us is more important than just thinking about certain things. For example, if you have a ghee wala laddu and you think that this is going to really harm you, I'm sure it's going to harm you, versus when you feel literally that this is fine, it's once in a while, you're having it, it's not bad for you.
Because again, it's a cognitive dissonance. You're having it anyways, but you don't want to have it. So your mind is saying no, but your body is saying yes. That cognitive dissonance is causing stress, which is affecting how your cells are reacting to what you're eating. And then again, like obviously moderation is important, but you're determining the scale to which it'll affect your body.
You know, since we were talking about environment, I remembered a study, or not a study, a documentary that was done by BBC. It was called The Young Ones.
I haven't heard of this.
What they did was, they took six aging celebrities and they created a time warp experiment where they created like what would life be like in the 1975s. You know, they were growing in the 1970s, and this was 2010 when they actually did the documentary. So they took these people literally 35 years back and they kept them in an environment where they relived the 1970s for a week. And it was observed that these people, these six aging people, when they came out, had a remarkable change in their biology. There was a person who was stooping and, you know, who had walked in. When he went out, he was literally throwing a dinner party for his friends. Then there was another one who could not even walk. He came in a wheelchair. He walked out of the show. And then there was another one who couldn't wear his socks himself. He also was, you know, in a completely different life state and could do a lot of things. So literally, it's not just a cellular environment, but the environment that we feel ourselves in can change the way how we feel and think about ourselves.
Self-talk to self-actualization, honestly. Because I feel the same way about aging parents and how they're treated in different cultures. If you're treated as somebody that's extremely elderly or someone that's delicate, then you conform to that and you start to believe it as well and start to behave that delicately. But we can see in certain blue zone countries or maybe European countries as well, they're cycling, they're active. And we don't necessarily see that in our own culture, you know.
So it's not just your personal beliefs, but also cultural beliefs that shape or reshape your behavioral outcomes.
Exactly.
That's great. So do you want to just summarize where we've gone today?
If I look at the path of beliefs we've mapped out, our individual beliefs are shaped by extrinsic or cultural belief systems and can also shape our health outcomes as well. But why I chose belief for this episode exactly, I knew that beliefs were the foundation for all of the podcast episodes that we've done so far. So they underlie the conscious knowledge of what our purpose is. You know, that firm resolve that you know your duty. I believe that this is what I'm supposed to do. It sets how firmly we know what our purpose is. And the strength of that purpose is what determines the motivation behind our intentions. And then we can spur those intentions into practices per se.
Yeah, and we also touched upon the conflicting beliefs that we might hold that can create more stress and how we can address those conflicting beliefs by finding a space to express ourselves or being the space for other people to express ourselves.
You know, I felt us touching a little bit upon generational trauma and looking into that as possibly an avenue for our next season.
Yeah, oh, why not? I look forward to learning together with you. And thank you so much for this conversation. As always, Sana, it was fun.
Thank you for all of the conversations.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mind the Gap. You can subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to this. We hope you learned something from our different perspectives, and if you did, let us know your takeaways on our social media Instagram handle at mindthegap.show.
You can access the show notes of this episode on coachformax.com. That's coach4max.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you feel motivated to engage in conversations that bridge diverse perspectives and create greater mutual understanding.